every week. That's why we get together in the weeks, in the summers. We've moved it to Thursdays, but throughout the rest of the year, we do Sundays. We get together for special services through Christmas and Easter. We also do it on Thanksgiving. And some people ask, well, why do you guys, you know, meet together, or why do we need to meet together? And I say, well, because we're all part of a family. And we're also seeking to grow the family of God, to tell other people about the good news of Jesus Christ, so that they can come into this family that is not just a group of people that meet together in a particular location, but it's an eternal family that's going to last for eternity, because we have a hope of Jesus Christ coming again to take us to be with himself. And it is the most awesome, exciting thing that I could possibly imagine, and I'm so thankful that God has called me to be a part of this family, and we just pray and hope that you're going to connect this morning with that whole truth as well. So the question that I have this morning, beyond why do we do what we do, is why is gathering around a table like this, okay, well, maybe nicer than this, but why is gathering on a table on Thanksgiving such an important thing for you? You gather around so that you can do what? What is tables used for? They're used for eating, right? So you sit around the table, you set out the table. We have fine china in our house. We never pull it out, except once or twice a year. Yesterday, we didn't pull out the fine china, but we're going to probably pull it out for Christmas. We gather around and we have special tablecloths or special utensils or special kind of serving trays or whatever, because it's when we get together and we eat together, but it's more than just eating together, right? It's about family. It's about being around a table where you're welcome to be there. And you don't have to worry about fitting in or not fitting in. Maybe after the turkey you have to worry about fitting, maybe getting out of the chair that you're sitting in. But the reality is, that's what we really think about when we think of times like Thanksgiving. When we think of turkey or ham, or we think about all the stuff, we think about the good times around the family of God. And that is why we gather in the church around another table. That's called this table. This table is the Lord's table. And we do this in our church usually the first weekend of the month. This year, or this month, we decided to do it on Thanksgiving instead. We just pushed it back a week. And we do it once a month. We don't do it every single week, not because we can't or that's a bad thing. Some churches do that. We just don't want it to become so commonplace that you get bored with it. But we also want it to be frequent enough that you participate in this with a heart that's special. And so I want to just read just four verses this morning from the New Testament about why we gather around the table of Jesus Christ and what it means. And this is why we've wanted the kids up today. Kids, I know that some of you are pretty young, and maybe this feels like it's an adult thing, but in reality, this is something for every single child of God. If you've asked Jesus to be your Savior, if you've opened your heart to him and you understand what this means, then this table is also something that we want you to begin to consider participating in. And I know that as a pastor, we don't put kids that are really super young. I came to know the Lord when I was 4. I didn't understand what this table was about. Parents, we want you to have that discernment with your kids that they really get this and understand this, okay? So it's not like just anybody and all people just do it without any discernment. But certainly we want kids to understand, and youth to understand, and then all of us adults to understand what this means and why we do what we do. The Apostle Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He said, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup.'" And it does tell us to discern, yes. And it tells us to take it seriously, yes. But it's not somber, okay? There's a difference between being serious about something and being somber. How many of you have met a somber person? Are they fun to be around? Oh, it's like in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Remember the teacher? Okay, many of you maybe wouldn't watch Ferris Bueller's Day Off. You guys like Bueller, 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 right? Remember that guy? He was like a somber guy. Nobody wanted to be in his class. That's not what we're talking about. But the seriousness that we take doesn't take away from the celebration, because we've received something amazing and awesome. So I want to just give you quickly five reasons why we do what we do. It says that Jesus said in Luke chapter 22, verse 15, that with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover meal with you before I suffer, before I'm crucified. This was the last thing that he did with his disciples. It wasn't actually a little cup of juice and a little bit of crackers. By the way, if you wonder why we use crackers, it's so they're gluten-free so everybody can participate. That's why we got the crunchy crackers, by the way. It's not about the symbol as much as about what the symbol represents. We seek to be faithful because we think it's important to do that, but we also realize that it's about the heart of it. So why do we do what we do? Number one, we do this so we can worship our Heavenly Father together. That's why we do this. That's why we do this together in church on a Sunday. That's why it's so important to us. We even make sure we do it throughout the summer as well, even when we're in a different schedule, because we want to worship our Heavenly Father together. Jesus said in Matthew 18, verse 20, "For where two or three are gathered together as my followers, I am there among them." Sometimes people think, you know what, I'm just good with God on my own. I don't need to be around anybody else. And of course you can worship God on your own. Of course God will be there with you when you are maybe driving the car or you're out on a hike or whatever. And some people feel very close to God when they're in those circumstances. And there's nothing wrong with that. Jesus went off by himself to pray in the wilderness, the Bible says. So there's times for solitude. But he also is especially blessed when we gather together and we worship God together. That's why church is important. Some people think the church is kind of like an optional thing and they'll go when they're ready and not when maybe they're tired or something's come up or they let a lot of things get in the way. We gather together regularly because God is blessed and glorified, and also we are blessed by glorifying him together in a special way that we don't when we're just alone by ourselves. So that's why we gather around the table. So we can do this, worshiping our Father together. And he is especially present in our midst. And that means that we get blessed and then we go from there strengthened and encouraged in the world to be a testimony for Jesus Christ. Number two, we do this so we're reminded of the centrality of the cross. Okay? That is why we're a Christian in the first place, because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It's our common faith. It's our common baptism in the Holy Spirit, where we, as the children of God, who have received his Spirit and forgiveness of sin and have been adopted into his family, the Bible says, that we can then cry out to God, not as some God that's so high up there that we can't reach him. We can actually call him Daddy or Father, Abba Father. Let me just read for you. Four verses from 1 Corinthians 15. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and which in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received." Okay? Same type of thing that you read about when he's talking about communion, right? Or the Lord's table. And it says this, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. You guys believe that? How much do you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins? How do you believe that? And do you believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead according to the scriptures? How many believe that? Say, you got to say amen, right? Like, absolutely believe that. And if I believe in that, and I believe that that's true, then why not get gathered together to celebrate what that means? And that's what we celebrate, the Lord's table. This represents his broken body on the cross, his shed blood, so that I wouldn't have to pay the price for sin, but that God could send his son to die in my place. And all I have to do is have faith in him, believe in him, and as I trust in him for that salvation, he then cleanses me, makes me clean, and then I can live for him. And that's why we celebrate together. Third reason why we celebrate is we do this so that we are in a position to receive. That which I have been entrusted with, I also give to you. We read about this twice now already, right? You know, when you are worshiping God on your own in the car, you determine what radio station that you turn on. You determine what song you're going to turn on. You determine what scripture verses you're going to read. But when you're in corporate worship, who makes those decisions? Luke does, right? Right. Luke's our worship director. But Luke doesn't always make that. Pastor makes those decisions. Or the team makes those decisions. Other people make those decisions. So what does that mean? That means if other people are making those decisions, you're not in a position of, I'm in the driver's seat. You're in a position of receiving it. And that's a good lesson in not only humility, but in blessing. How many of you guys look forward to coming to church? You know, sometimes people come to church and go, I didn't like that song. I didn't really like the way that was laid out. How come things are like this and how come things are like that? I asked the question, is your heart in the right place? Not, I cannot meet every single preference of every single person that's sitting in the pew. It's impossible. Some of you like this, some of you like that. But you come to church knowing that maybe not everything will be according to your first preference, but if your heart's in the right place, you're going to receive a blessing, right? And so it teaches humility, it teaches unity, it teaches you that your spiritual walk is not about you and what you want, but your spiritual walk is about what God wants, and that he is particularly blessed where two or three agree, he is especially happy, right? And sometimes agreeing means that you have to lay aside your own personal preferences. And when churches do that, we endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, and God's love is demonstrated. Number four, we do this so that we can build spiritual unity. We read in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. The word assembly means church. Not assembling together is bad. Churching together, getting together, being together is good, as is the manner of some. But exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So we are in a position to receive. Did you know that the Israelites would meet three times a year in three feasts? They were supposed to travel to what city in order to worship God together? Where were they supposed to go? They were supposed to go to Jerusalem, but they didn't. They did for some of those feasts, but for other ones they didn't do it. And when they didn't do it, what happened to the 12 tribes of Israel? Were they together or were they fighting with each other? Just read the historical account. They fought a lot. Matter of fact, they split into two kingdoms, northern, southern. And in the northern kingdom, the first thing that they did was, they said, we're no longer going to Jerusalem to worship anymore. We're going to build our own place. We're going to go to our own spot. We're not going to there anymore because we don't want to be with those guys. We don't want to be with them. And so we split. And is God glorified when we do that, or is he hurt when we do that? He's hurt when we do that. That's why we get together regularly, so that we can love each other, learn to love each other, so that we can build unity together. And that unity is a beautiful thing when we come together in the right spirit. And by the way, let's go this last one. Fifth, final one, so important is this. We do this so we're reminded of our eternal hope, the Lion, our coming Savior, Jesus Christ. This year, this past month, this past week, you turn on the news, you go, what horrible thing happened yesterday, 5 days ago, last month, and you get angry, right? And they share it on Facebook, and they're like, oh, it's a horrible thing. And it is horrible. It's an evil world. So what do you got? Well, we got to do this, and we got to do that, and we got to post on Facebook, or we have to, you know, rant and rave and say something to somebody else. What good does that do? It doesn't do very much good, right? Because you and I are pretty much powerless to change the situation on the ground elsewhere, right? No matter how much you talk, it doesn't really amount to anything. But there's somebody who can do a lot about it. Who is he? What's his name? Jesus Christ. Is he coming again? The Bible says yes, And when he comes, he will rule the nations with justice, and he will be firm, and he will set everything right. And we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till when? Till he comes. Isn't that awesome? I mean, this is why I don't just believe this. I hope it happens. I know this is going to happen. I see it unfolding. And as I look at God's word and I read in Revelation chapter 19, we read about the best, this is where I'm going to close, the best dinner, Thanksgiving, Christmas dinner, whatever you want to call it, of all time. It's in the future. If you don't have a Bible, maybe you just want to follow along on your smartphone or listen along with me. Open your Bibles. Revelation chapter 19. We're going to read three verses as we close and come to the Lord's table. This is talking about the end. This is talking about what happens when Jesus Christ prepares to return. And this is what it says. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. When there's a marriage, when there's a wedding, what do you guys all do after the wedding's over with? You go to the reception. And it's all centered around the head, what? Table, right? Where the bride and groom sit. And we're all around this. This is the imagery that he's giving. And it says, the wife, his wife has made herself ready, and to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. And then it says this, and then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. This is the table that we will be at in glory with God forever. This here is just a little taste of that, and it reminds us that it's going to happen. How many of you are looking forward to that day? I mean, I'm looking forward to that day, right? That day when all this pain and suffering is over with, and we are with God forever and eternity. So that's the Lord's table. That's why we wanted to do it together, around the table. Are those some pretty good reasons to be in church today? I'm so glad that you're here. Are those some pretty good reasons to celebrate today? I mean, that's like the best reason to celebrate, right? So I'm going to ask the elders of the church to come up as we celebrate the Lord's table together.